Welcome to the Cloquet Vineyard. To find out more of who we are, go to cloquetvineyard.org. Thanks for listening and have a good and beautiful day.
We're talking about light. During Advent, we've been talking all about light. And Advent was created for a time for people just to breathe, just to pause, to take a little moment and refocus and see the light. Because around holidays, I don't know what you got, maybe we're abnormal, but holidays are just move, 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 move. And today we want to create some space just for us just to breathe, just to hang out, to hear something good and beautiful and learn about and experience a good and beautiful God. And light is an amazing thing. If you're here and you are my analytical friends, right? You love facts, you love science, I got something for you because light is crazy. Here we go. Who here likes Hot Pockets? Raise your hand if you like Hot Pockets, right? Adults, Chad loves him some Hot Pockets. I don't know why that makes me laugh. It's funny. So the sun is so powerful. This light is so powerful. In 1 second, it can heat up 3,200 billion Hot Pockets in 1 second, all right? That is enough Hot Pockets for Chad for a little bit, apparently, all right? Light travels crazy fast. It can travel 6 trillion miles in 1 year. 6 trillion miles in 1 year. But it only takes 8 minutes to go from the sun to my really good-looking tan that I have, right? That's how long it takes for this to tan, right? And then the closest star is 4.23 light years away. That would take 81,000 years for us to travel. If you hopped on a ship right now and you went, that's just like a couple of Phineas and Ferb episodes, right? And it's not too many. Yes, you like Phineas and Ferb. I love Phineas and Ferb, right? Right? So like light is amazing. The sun brings like life itself to us. Like how many people last night saw that sunrise or sunset? It had like the deep purple and the pink. Like how many times have you been hit by your partner when they've seen a sunset or seen like the full moon? They're like, look at that. Like it still surprises us. There's something about light. Like light makes the news in northern Minnesota. If this, like, really, right? When like you're driving to work and the report comes on, the weather report, they're like, and we got good news. There's gonna be 30 seconds of sun. People like will stop the car, get out, and like high-five each other. Like, it's coming, the sun is coming, all right? We love light. It's almost like maybe we were created for it. You see, throughout the Gospels, actually throughout the biblical narrative, there is this element of light that is used to bring hope, that's used to bring joy. Even just the Christmas stories, there's light everywhere. We talked earlier about when the shepherds were out, the shepherds were like not this like celebrated gig, it was just like the nobodies. The nobodies were the shepherds, right? And all of a sudden, like this angel's light comes down and they get this private show to like the song of heaven. And that light, it did something to them. We see light in Zechariah. He shows up and he's in the temple and he's lighting some incense. There's this light and this angel shows up and says, everything you've ever known, all the stuff you believe, will never happen. I'll never be this person. I'll never have this story. This angel said, it's all changing. Your son is going to bring great joy. He's going to set the stage. He's going to start singing the song of this good and beautiful God. And that was John. John, like the Gospel of John uses darkness and light as a metaphor to let you know of like that there is hope or there isn't hope. Like when Jesus on Good Friday talks about it happened at night and there's this darkness that's looming. Then he goes into 3 days later, it all happens in the morning as if this invitation to a whole new way. There's a whole new sun. There's a whole new rhythm, a whole new way of doing life. And there's my favorite story is of the star. They call them the three wise men, but they weren't just wise men. They were these mystical group, of this traveling group that used the stars to learn about life and to talk about maybe your past or your future. They had these different ways. They understood math and science in a different way, and they were not a celebrated group. Like, we make them to be like, oh, that's not up there anymore, right? Like, right there. So we make them out to be this cute little three wise men. These were traveling groups of people that were the outsiders. They would get kicked out of towns and come in and people would be like these entertainers that ask questions and then they would like move on. But they knew the stars. There was something about this light that came into the sky and they knew that that star didn't belong. But one thing I think about is, why were they the only ones to respond? How many other people saw that star and didn't know that it was out of place? How many people walked by that and said, hit their partners, look at those stars, all right? Like, don't do that anymore. What is it about this light that they saw that moved some urgency to them? There's something in that star, something in that light that they understood, we must go to there. See, light brings life. Light brings movement. Here, and this group of people, they would have been, again, the outsiders, the rejects, to the very people of Mary and Joseph. They were that, of all the people to respond and celebrate this good and beautiful God, those people had never been picked, the shepherds or the wise men or the mystics, as I like to call them. But there's something in light, something in spirituality that like haunts us, that moves us, that there's this invitation to lean in, this invitation to move. And in our reading today, John, in the beginning of John, in his book, he uses light as a way, as an invitation. So as I read this, if you're here and you have one of your little candles, can you hold up your candles? Light them up. As I read this, I want you can shake them, you can move them, and we're going to turn down the light so we can see them as I read out of John chapter 1. And you may turn down those lights, please. Oh, there they are. All right. John 1. That looks awesome. Thank you for doing it in the balcony, too. All right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning, and through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made that has already been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Let me read it one more time. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. All right, you can turn the lights on, friend. Thank you. Thank you for lighting those little candles. I appreciate that. See, I love verse 4. It's something that I meditate on. It's something I just say over and over. And in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. There's something that John wants us to understand, that this story is about to tell is not just like, hey, this is a real positive thing. Let's just do some try harder elements. Let's give you a couple practices. He's saying in him was life itself. And he uses how that life is going to be portrayed, how that life is going to be experienced, how that life is going to be understood is through a light. And it's a light for all womankind. It's a light and a life for every single person, for all kid kind, for all Green Bay Packer kind. Yes, they are included as well, all right? For all Renshaw kind, for all Proctor kind, for all Carlton kind, for all kind, there is this light, and there is this light that reaches out. Almost as it's this invitation that you can take in the light and you can experience the light. And light is something, especially in northern Minnesota, that, like we talked about earlier, sun makes the news. But my wife talks about if she's ever going to write a book, she's going to call it Living Under the Gray Cloud, right? Because that's like, it's our experience, right? There's something in the late fall when the days get a little bit shorter. It does something to you, doesn't it? For a lot of us, it does more than just a little something. For me, if you're a person like me, like everything to me is like an opportunity. I always like live in the sunshine in my mind. I'm an eternal optimist, right? Yeah, people in the dark cloud love people like me, right? I'm like, it's going to be great. But there's something even like when it's late fall, I want to like get home as soon as possible because I want to soak up the sun. And I'll like bring up my grill in the driveway and pretend like it's June, right? And it's like really cold. I'm like, this is awesome. Isn't it fun? Because I don't want to miss out. But there's something when it gets into December, or it gets into November, where you just feel just a little bit down. Because you know each day is just getting a little bit less, a little bit less, and a little bit less. But something changes on December 21st, at least for me. On the summer or winter solstice of it being the shortest day, it brings this new hope. It brings like, hey, each day, just a little bit more, there's going to be more life. Like the mystics, the Celtics, they celebrated the winter solstice as a way of saying that what we're about to do is actually what they believed was going to bring a new sun. That there's going to be a new light. There's going to be a new hope. And in the same way, we see God on Christmas is telling the whole world, in him was life and it was a light to all mankind, that there is a new hope. There is a new light for you to experience. Every day after the solstice, we get to lean in just a little bit more warmth, just a little bit more with the promise of a song to be sung of summer and spring and fall where we can move and laugh. But in order to get to the summer, we have to go through the darkness of winter. But in him was life. So to my friends here today, to kids or adults, maybe you're here and Christmas for you is amazing and it's great and you're so excited. Maybe you're here and Christmas is just hard. Maybe you lost a loved one and on the holidays, you remember them. And you remember them by telling stories, but you also remember them by feeling that grief and that loss. Maybe you're here and you feel alone. Maybe you're here and Christmas isn't bad, but it's not good. It's just like, it's Christmas. Maybe to family, maybe to friends, maybe to health, maybe to mental health. Whatever it might be, here's what I'm not going to do. Sometimes, especially on Christmas when people feel pain, especially in like spiritual communities, we're really good at saying, you just got to let go and let God. Jesus, take the wheel, all right? Those are both very great things. But we can use those as a way of saying, try harder. If you're feeling down, just try harder. Try harder in your mental illness just to feel better. It doesn't work. Like what Jesus is saying, what John is saying here is in him was life, and it's the light of all mankind. He's not just saying, hey, just like reach out and grab the light and you're going to feel better. He's saying there is this invitation of hope and of freedom. It's within reach. So my friends who are experiencing this darkness during Christmas, what I'd like to say is that you are not alone. What you feel is valid. What you feel is valid and you are not alone. There is a light that is shining. My invitation to all of us this holiday, as we leave here, you're going to maybe have a meal, maybe you're going to have some laughs with some friends or some family. Here's what I'm inviting you to do, is this light is all around you. This light is in the air. Yes, darkness is real, the darkness, but it says that the darkness cannot overcome the light. Nothing can turn off those lights. And it's an invitation to you to see the light and receive the light. That light is heaven. That light is hope and freedom, and it's everywhere. You'll see it around the table as you laugh with friends. You'll see it, and you hear it as your dad tells you the same story about getting thrown through the Burger King window when you're 17, like for the 100th time, right? You're going to hear it, and you're going to laugh at it again, saying, tell me more, Dad, right? That light is through your great-grandma, who's the keeper of so many secrets in your family, as you hug her and as you kiss her. That light is going to be through clinking glasses on New Year's Eve and maybe staying up all night dancing. That light is going to be through a great night's sleep as you get a little extra time off work. That light will be tomorrow morning as you open up presents under the tree, as you hug and as you kiss and as you laugh. That light can be in a great workout after eating way too many cookies, right? But sometimes, sometimes we look for that light and we think, it's going to be just here. And we get so focused on just this little thing. And the whole time, that star is shining. That light is shining, and sometimes we miss it. So to my friends, the light is everywhere around us, and let's see it. In the same way as like in your house, and it's cold, and that sun pops out for 30 seconds, and all of a sudden the living room it like warms up just a little bit through that ray of sun, and it's just like an invitation, right? It's almost like it's just daring you, like come into the sun. As you step into that light, it warms you. Not just like the temperature, but it warms as it brings hope. Maybe it brings life. As you see the light this holiday season, all I'm asking you to do is the same way as that light, you just lean in. We can lean into that light. And when you lean into that light and you receive that light, it allows heaven to sing this song inside of you that you were created for. And that light started on Christmas. That light was in a manger. And that light was to bring you life. So what I'd like to do is I'd like to just take a little bit of time. I'm just going to pray for us. And you can stay seated. And if you're here and you'd like to experience that light, maybe you'd like to experience some hope. Maybe you'd like to experience some joy. Or maybe you're here and you just would like some peace. As I pray, I'm going to encourage you just to receive heaven itself, something from the divine, as a good gift to us. Let's pray. So God, we welcome you. And I thank you for all my friends here today, from the tall to the little, to the young and to the old. Thank you that you came to us. Thank you that came with that light. And in that light, there is life. And I pray for my friends who could use some life, who could use some warmth, who could use some beauty, could use some hope and some peace and some joy. Will you come even now? And you help us to be able to see that light around the table with our friends, with our family, and even in ourselves. And you give us the wisdom and the prudence to be able to highlight the light to the people around us and that we can celebrate you. Thank you, Emmanuel, that God is with us. We love you, God. Amen. So one thing that we'd like to do before we wrap up, we're going to be doing one more Christmas song. We call those carols. Yep, there we go. Nailed it. All right. Before we do that, we're going to take time to do communion all together. If the people would like to come down, they're going to be handing out the communion elements, and we have an all pre-packaged. And we do this once in a while as a community because it's a way for us to all be at the same table. One thing we talk often about here is that we like to share life around tables. And communion, one of the reasons that God invites us to communion is not just because we have to do more like religious sacred elements. We do it as a way of sharing life, of sharing a meal, of breaking bread and the juice. And so we're going to pass them all out, and they're going to hand you the baskets, and then you can just pass it to the people behind you and around you, and it'll just take a little bit of time to pass them out. And we're going to share a meal together and remember a good and beautiful God. And if you want to rip open the top, we're going to start with the, I don't know what you call this. It's like a bread wafer thingy. So, but what we use is not the most of significance. What we remember is what is significant. And as Jesus was on that Good Friday, as Jesus was getting ready to go to the cross, he gathered his friends around a table and he pulled out the bread. And what he tells his friends as he says, you know, take this and I want you to think of me. I want you to be able to dream and see me even as I leave. And as you eat bread, as it nourishes you, as it brings like sustenance to you, as it brings energy, it brings life itself. It's what keeps us going is bread. He says, in the same way, take me in and let me sustain you. Let me nourish you. Let me give you everything you need for a good and beautiful life. So let's take this together and remember him. Yeah, that is not bread. All right, let's open up the juice ever so gently as you're wearing your Christmas vest. And in the same way, as we remember him through the bread bringing us life, he says, drink this and think of me often. In the same way, then, the wine, this, the juice, there's a sweetness. There's something that you can experience me. You can take it in, all five senses in drinking this juice. You can hear it as you're opening it. You can smell it as you're holding it. You can feel it as you taste it. Jesus is inviting us, experience me in all of my beauty. Remember me, friends. So, to you, Jesus, let's drink together. So, Jesus, thank you that you came. Thank you that we can experience you. We can experience your light, and we remember you. We remember you that you came with us. And as we leave here today, let us be able to see and experience the light. Amen. Why don't we stand, and we're going to sing one more song.